The reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, 9. Pray like this then, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. The prayer our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray when they asked him, how should we pray? It begins with the words, our Father. We are allowed to call God Father because of our baptisms. When we were baptized with water and word, his name was given to us because God makes himself a part of us. God's name is holy among us when we believe, teach, and confess, and live according to God's word. But God's name can also be profaned among us in the worst possible way. When men preach and teach contrary to God's word, and especially when people live openly evil lives. Luther explains this best in the Large Catechism when he says the highest concern that God's name be kept holy, though through genuine biblical teachings, in contrast to all the false teachings in the world. Luther also has a hymn, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. It is a powerful application of these truths. We, as God's chosen children, have this powerful gift from God he has given us, his name, to call upon him in our darkest hours for help or just for things we need in our daily lives, like food, clothes, or even a job. God tells us to pray for these things. Think about this for a minute. God loves us so much, he gives us his name to call upon when we are baptized with water and word. No other religion in the world can make that claim. In fact, it is the exact opposite. They do not have the name of their God they worship or have the ability to call upon them by their name because their gods command them to serve them with righteous works. Everything they do flows up towards their God for salvation, compared to the one true God who gives us his name. In the Old Testament, it was called Yahweh, the God of Israel, his chosen people, whom he made a covenant with, that they would be his people and they would love him. In the New Testament, God gives us his name to call upon, and it's Jesus Christ. Because Christ made a new covenant with his people, sealed with his precious blood on the cross. This new covenant broke the old covenant, where only Israelites were saved. Now all who believe in Christ and are baptized have the power to call upon him because they are saved from sin, death, and the devil. His grace flows down towards his people. We do nothing for our salvation. It is a gift from God. Even our faith to believe in God is a gift from God. When we are baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit, and this is where we receive our faith. So once again, God does everything for his people, and we do nothing. It's that simple. But the other side to this, Luther explains in the Large Catechism, it is when God's name is profaned, when men preach and teach contrary to God's word, and the people live an openly evil life. We live in a world who embraces sin, and God's word is rejected. Our society tells us abortion is not murder, since the world says it is not a life in the womb. And it's a woman's right to choose, or the child should not live or die. Even though in Jeremiah, verse 5, God tells us that he knew us in our mother's womb. God just made it perfectly clear that an unborn baby is alive. Our society tells us that adultery is okay. Cheating on our partner is not a sin. Our society has embraced it to the point that they even have websites where married people looking to cheat can do so with ease. Our society tells our children living with a partner out of wedlock, it's not adultery, that it's not a sin. Society tells us that homosexuality is not a sin. And if you don't believe that, you're just a bigot. Society tells us that the love of money or coveting our neighbor's possessions is normal and not a sin. And if you don't have the latest and newest gadget, you're a nobody. Society even tries to tell us that the Bible was written by men and it is not the inerrant, inspired word of God. There are Christian churches who are more worried about being a part of society than the kingdom of God. They embrace views that pastors are preaching that all of these are not sins. Those pastors are preaching that whatever we do upon the earth must be good works to enter heaven. Those same pastors profane God's name when they preach and teach and say in God's name what is false and misleading. They use his name like an ornament and attract a market for falsehood. This misleading preaching is indeed the greatest way to profane and dishonor the divine name. Now, I want to be perfectly clear with you all. We here in this room sin every day. And we will sin every day for the rest of our lives, because it's in our DNA. Ever since the fall, when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, all of mankind was damned to sin from that time forward. But see, the difference here is we recognize these things to be sins, and we repent for them. As God's people, we come to church and repent for our sins. And the pastor absolves us of our sins in Christ's stead. We, as God's chosen people, stand at the altar every Sunday and eat Christ's body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of sins. We understand as God's children when we pray to our Father, "Hallowed be thy name," we are praying that we keep his name holy, because he gives us his name to call upon, that in our use of his name, we would not profane it. Luther again writes in the Large Catechism, "Now here is the great need that we ought to be most covered about this name. Should have proper its proper honor, it should be valued holy and grand as the greatest treasure and holy things that we have as godly children. We should pray that God's name, which is already holy in heaven, may also be and remain holy with us upon earth and in all the world." During this Lenten season, as we focus on the cross and all that Christ did for us, I encourage you all to remember your baptisms and pray daily, not only by yourself with your morning and evening devotions, but also with your family. Teach your children to pray and how to pray, like Christ taught us to do. I also encourage you this Lenten season to study the Lord's Prayer. in the small and large catechism. They could be found in either the Book of Concord or dig out your old small catechism and read it with your family. And even maybe share it with your friend and family who do not know how to pray or why we pray. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you as a vessel to proclaim the love of Christ so they too can receive the blessings and gifts we receive from God in our daily devotions. So now you have a better understanding that in this petition, we pray for exactly what God demands of us in the second commandment. We pray His name not to be taken in vain, to swear or curse, lie, deceive, and so on, but be used for God's praise and honor. This Lent, pray for all who profane His name, calling them to repent and be saved. We understand what a great need there is for such a prayer. We should by all means pray without ceasing and cry out and call upon God against all people who preach and believe falsely. We should pray against whatever opposes and persecutes our gospel and pure doctrine and who will suppress it. Likewise, we should pray for ourselves who have God's word but are not thankful for it. If you pray for this with your heart, you can be sure that it will please God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and mind until Christ returns again in glory. Amen.